Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. For an Urban Renaissance, How Can We Tackle the Major Urban Challenges of the 21st Century? By Guy Courtois appears to be a contemporary urban studies work, concerned with the future of cities under pressure from environmental, social, economic, and spatial change. Publicly available information on the exact volume is limited, so a reliable reading should avoid attributing detailed case studies or proprietary frameworks that cannot be verified. The title, however, clearly places the book within the tradition of urban Renaissance literature, a field focused on renewing city life through better planning, more sustainable land use, stronger public space, and more inclusive governance. Its likely purpose is not only to describe urban problems, but to frame city renewal as a practical response to the defining pressures of the 21st century. The book is most relevant to readers interested in how cities can move beyond uncontrolled expansion, fragmented infrastructure, environmental strain, and social division toward more coherent and livable urban forms. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, urban renaissance as a response to overlapping 21st century city pressures. The central idea suggested by the book is that urban renaissance is not merely an aesthetic project of improving streets, buildings, or historic centers. It is a response to a cluster of pressures that modern cities face at the same time: population growth, housing demand, ecological limits, mobility congestion, economic restructuring, and unequal access to opportunity. This makes the concept broader than simple regeneration. A city can rebuild districts and still fail if renewal displaces residents, increases car dependency, or ignores climate vulnerability. The value of the urban renaissance framing is that it connects physical design with social and environmental outcomes. It treats the city as an interdependent system in which land use, transport, housing, public services, and economic activities shape one another. This perspective is important because many urban failures come from solving one problem in isolation. Expanding roads can worsen sprawl, luxury redevelopment can deepen exclusion, and isolated green projects can have limited impact without wider planning reform. The topic, therefore, emphasizes integration. The challenge is to make urban renewal coherent enough to address several risks at once. Secondly, compact and mixed-use urban form as an alternative to dispersed growth. A major theme associated with urban renaissance thinking is the preference for compact, mixed-use urban development over low-density expansion. This does not mean crowding cities without regard for quality of life. Rather, it means organizing homes, work, shops, schools, public services, and leisure in closer proximity so that daily life requires less land consumption and fewer long car trips. The reasoning is practical. Dispersed growth tends to increase infrastructure costs, lengthen commutes, consume agricultural or natural land, and weaken neighborhood centers. Compact development can support public transport, walking, cycling, local commerce, and more efficient energy and service networks. It also makes better use of existing urban land, including underused sites and obsolete industrial areas. The challenge is that compactness must be matched with design quality, public amenities, affordability, and access to green space. Density without these conditions can create pressure rather than renewal. In this sense, the urban renaissance approach is not simply pro-density. It is concerned with the conditions under which density becomes livable, socially useful, and environmentally more responsible. Thirdly, social inclusion in public space as measures of successful city renewal. Urban renaissance is often judged by visible improvements, but the deeper test is whether renewal expands or restricts access to the city. A regenerated district can look successful while becoming less accessible to lower-income households, small businesses, older residents, or informal community networks. The book title points toward major urban challenges, and social fragmentation is one of the most persistent. Public space is central to this issue because streets, squares, parks, libraries, schools, and civic facilities are where the social life of the city becomes tangible. Well-planned public space can reduce isolation, support local identity, encourage everyday encounters, and provide non-commercial places for participation. However, public space alone cannot solve exclusion if housing policy, transport access, and service distribution remain unequal. This is why inclusion must be considered as a design, planning, and governance issue together. An urban renaissance that only attracts investment may improve economic indicators but fail in civic terms. The more demanding standard is renewal that strengthens shared urban life while preserving access for diverse residents. Fourthly, ecological transition through land reuse, mobility change, and resource discipline. The environmental dimension of an urban renaissance is more than adding parks or improving architectural appearance. Cities concentrate resource use, emissions, waste production, and exposure to climate risks, but they also offer opportunities for efficiency when planned well. reusing already urbanized land can reduce pressure on peripheral landscapes and make better use of existing infrastructure. Shifting mobility away from car dependence can cut congestion, pollution, and energy demand while improving access for people who cannot or do not drive. Better building performance, district-scale energy planning, water management, tree cover, and climate-adapted public spaces can also make urban life more resilient. The reasoning behind this theme is that sustainability in cities depends on systems, not isolated gestures. A low-energy building located in a car-dependent area may still produce high overall environmental costs. Urban renaissance, therefore, requires alignment between spatial planning, infrastructure investment, and environmental targets. Its ecological promise lies in treating the existing city as a site for repair, adaptation, and more disciplined resource use. Lastly, governance and implementation as the decisive test of urban transformation. The most difficult part of any urban renaissance is not identifying desirable goals, but implementing them across political, financial, and institutional boundaries. Cities are shaped by public authorities, private developers, infrastructure agencies, residents, investors, and civil society groups, each with different time horizons and incentives. A plan for compact growth, affordable housing, better mobility, or public space improvement can fail if land ownership is fragmented, budgets are short-term, regulations are inconsistent, or communities distrust the process. This makes governance a substantive urban issue rather than an administrative detail. Participatory planning can improve legitimacy, but participation must be linked to real decisions rather than symbolic consultation. Public-private cooperation can mobilize resources, but it needs safeguards against displacement and purely speculative development. Long-term strategies are also vulnerable to election cycles and economic shocks. The implication is that urban renaissance should be evaluated not only by its vision, but by the tools available to carry it out: planning authority, financing models, accountability mechanisms, and institutional coordination. Without these, renewal remains aspirational. In conclusion, for an urban renaissance is best suited to readers who want a broad, policy-oriented reflection on how cities can respond to the main pressures of the present century. Urban planners, local officials, architects, environmental professionals, civic leaders, and students of urban studies are the most natural audience. General readers interested in housing, mobility, sustainability, or the future of metropolitan life may also find value in its framing, especially if they want to understand why urban problems cannot be solved one sector at a time. Its practical benefit lies in encouraging readers to connect land use, public space, transport, ecological transition, and social inclusion within one urban agenda. Its intellectual benefit is the reminder that city renewal is not equivalent to beautification or real estate growth. It must be assessed by livability, resilience, access, and long-term public value. Compared with more technical planning manuals, the book appears positioned as a synthetic and accessible intervention around the idea of urban renaissance, compared with narrowly environmental or architectural books. Its distinguishing feature is the comprehensive question posed by its subtitle, How to Tackle the Major Urban Challenges of the 21st Century as Connected Problems of Urban Life. If you would like to support Guy Cordova, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.